Thank you so much for joining Losing My Religion podcast. My name is Joshua Preston. Today we have a new episode for you. We hope that it encourages you and through the discussions to what our part, our journey, and maybe even what the Holy Spirit is revealing in your heart with it. We hope that it encourages you and helps you on your way, helps us to enjoy more of His love for us, enjoy the relationship that we have with Him, so that we can actually be better human beings, be the human beings that He has created us to be, to love one another just as He loves us. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode. And if you love our podcast, please subscribe and share. And you can actually become a podcast contributor if you like to. If you feel led to, if you don't, and we're absolutely fine with that. So we hope you enjoyed this episode today, and we look forward to having more discussions with you in the future. And so enjoy. Welcome to Losing My Religion podcast, episode number 68. I'm your host, Joshua, and I have with me my wonderful wife, Korea.
Hello.
She's going to be talking in and out. We just, you know, we kind of, I don't know, per se, that we're recording this earlier than we normally do, but it's coming out at the same time. We had a baby last week, so that's why you're hearing the two-parter of an episode that we did with Tim. Tim will be back next week because we kind of give up. This is our first 1 week with a baby.
trying to adjust.
Yeah, trying to adjust.
There's still adjusting to do.
Yes, so yeah. I'm thankful for that. Thankful for his friendship and his love, his insight on all that, because he's the one who came up with all that, which is great, because that's the Holy Spirit rolling. Before we get started into our conversation that we want to kind of talk about in this episode, I want to give you one pointer. We have voice messages. You can record up to a 1 minute voice message for us. We kind of want you to use that for a Q&R, or hey, if you have special insight into something that we talked about, or that any topic or anything like that too, you can send us that message. So how you do it is that if you look down the show notes below, you click on the voice message. You can be on any app or on your desktop, and you click on it and you can record up the 1 minute message. If you have a Q&R, we'll play those questions during our Q&R episodes. If you have a proactive thought or whatever about something that we could talk about, you can hear that your message in that episode we will record about. You're getting ready to say something, wifey. Go ahead.
Well, what is a Q&R?
Question and response. So your questions come in. So no question is a dumb question, per se.
Sometimes we have topics and we ask for you to ask us questions that we can all respond to and create a healthy discussion about.
Yes.
We haven't done one.
We done one a couple months ago. We did it on our anniversary, so.
Yeah, recently.
Yes.
But we'll probably be due for another one soon, and we'll let everybody know.
Yes. So if you have questions, you can send us, and then we'll actually bank all the voice messages in there and play them out then. Again, you can record up to 1 minute message. Go and do it. Please be part of the podcast.
Please.
I just want to have a quick discussion with you right now, because we're in between feedings here, recording this live with our newborn. So I just want to kind of thought, I listen to stuff that kind of just makes me think so much, certain podcasts. And I always keep mentioning the Bible Project, because there's just little key things that get said that kind of make me think. Mm-hmm. And this week happened was they were talking about Solomon. And they're kind of going through his story and how does it relate to the wisdom books and everything else, which was very fascinating. Mm-hmm. And they point out a lot of stuff that he wasn't so perfect.
Solomon.
Yeah, if you pay attention to the details, which a lot of us don't, and I'm not saying that as a negative thing, but it gets glazed over. Mm-hmm. Especially when they're talking about wealth. It's funny when you throw money in the mix, how our eyes just kind of skip everything else.
Yeah.
It's
almost like we become blinded by some of that, because we look at what we have.
Correct. And what was interesting was he was talking about They were talking about how he, you know, of course we know if you read, he asked for wisdom. And God goes, okay, so since you asked for wisdom, then, you know, you didn't ask for this, I'm going to give it to you anyways. And, you know, it talks about this stuff. Well, he's the one who built it. He built the temple and stuff. And there was a couple of mistakes he made there. He actually had slaves. And it's a reference to Pharaoh making the Hebrew slaves and stuff to build the temple, you know, the pyramids and stuff. And then they talk about the wealth part. Mm-hmm. And the money and stuff that they had. And something the guy had said in Exodus to them was, don't store up for yourselves. Mm-hmm. Right? And what you start to see is that they began to store up the gold and wealth for themselves. Yeah. Which is something he said not to. Which is quite interesting per se, because you stop and look at what Solomon was doing was things, was because it's so easy to get, oh, look at, they had someone, you know, look at them and look how great he was and stuff. And then, but if you really look at it, you're kind of like, no, it's not. And you kind of see why it fell off the rails pretty quickly, actually. If you look at his reign, it fell off really badly. Mm-hmm. We always think it went off the rails when he had many wives, and it wasn't the case because he was already off the rails.
Yeah.
It's like he didn't even get started on the rails. But
so you ain't seen nothing yet.
Exactly. So the biggest thing that, you know, it told me, the kind of thought provoking me, is when they stored the wealth up for themselves. Mm-hmm. And if you stop and really think about that, just that saying there, it's selfishness. So if you think about it as a nation, they were storing it up for themselves. If they were truly a nation that was about God, about who he is, then they wouldn't have been storing up all the wealth for themselves, but storing up for others, or having that, taking that opportunity to help others and be there for, be that beacon to the world where if people were in need, they could go and help. But instead, they were fattening their pockets up for themselves.
Why would someone do that? What are your thoughts on that? Why would someone just keep it all for themselves?
Self-preservation.
Feeling as though they have believing to, that they may not be provided for.
Yeah. If you stop and look at it, you can then boil it down to one little thing, and that is they don't think that they are loved.
So it all comes down to that.
Yeah. And it, to me, because they didn't think they were loved by God, it resulted in them taking and storing for themselves. Like,
because love does equal provision.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And so then they ended up being not a community that was about love. They ended up being a community about themselves. Mm-hmm. Taking about themselves. And then is it truly then community? Mm. When you stop and really think about it.
Mm. And it's not just provision in terms of material things. Really, when you, you know, look more into it, you'll start to find out more.
Yeah. And you'll see it because if you stop and think about it, like, they made other slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Why? If you're a community that's about it, and it's a focus of God and how God is a community between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but then you turn around and make a community and try to make it about having others be slaves, down here truly a community. And then you kind of look at it, it's like they were already off the rails. Because you look at they made slaves, people slaves, and then they also then were taking the wealth for themselves. And this kind of, this stuff kind of really got to me. It's like, it kind of reminds me kind of where we're at today in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And the focus is about us, not about others.
And even getting others to do the dirty work.
Yeah.
You know, and not journeying along with someone, and just trying not to get our hands dirty.
Yeah.
At times.
Yeah, I mean, stop, because we can look at, like, what's going on at the borders, the southern borders between U.S. and Mexico, like all that's going on with what's going on there, which is absolutely craziness. You can see how we just, if you just boil down to just a local thing, what's going on in your community and how we treat each other. Like, frankly, somebody looked at you today like you were...
Like I did. I was not supposed to be...
Part of the community.
Even, well, yeah, in the area. It was so strange. You know, just sitting in a car at a gas station and then having somebody drive, creep by, staring at me as they're, you know, driving past. And I'm looking at them like, why are you looking at me like this? Okay. Yeah, it was very... It was an unsettling feeling. You know, you hear about other people dealing with issues with race. And I've dealt with stuff, you know, even when I was younger. But then to have it back in your face again.
Yeah.
It makes you kind of... It took me a moment to calm down. And, you know, again, it was... I didn't feel great, you know, after that. I was quite angry, but, not but, I don't want to, like, suppress, I don't want to, like, downplay it, because I think this, there are some serious issues.
Oh, we got serious issues. That
need to be discussed in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And emotions need to be let out in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning and learning how to deal with some of the stuff that happened in my past. But yeah, definitely it's interesting we're having this conversation because there was a moment today, especially that I just felt like I didn't belong.
Yeah.
Even though I was supposed to be there. Supposed to be where I was. I was with my family.
Yeah. Because that's my biggest thing is when... Because I had my notes after this thing was churning. I was walking to the car. I put this on my notes. And I put it in there, you know, community / defining community in the sense of loving one another just as he loves you. And kind of want to look at that, like, in a second, because we can look at stuff that's crazy because you felt like not belonging. And loving someone just as he loves you is... making another person feel like they belong. And whether they look like you or not, whether they act like you or not, is making them feel like they belong. And I think that's something that we fall short of a lot in our communities today.
I think one general. Of the reasons is because we don't understand the person. We don't understand the person or, you know, what they've been through.
Yeah. Also, I think it's also too, to add to that, I think we're scared of them. Because, and I say this, we're scared of who they are. Not that they're God or anything. And their gifts and their talents. Because we might get outshined.
Yeah.
But what we don't realize is that together we all shine.
Mm-hmm.
Together. We can't shine as individuals. We can only shine as a community together. I think a lot of it is fear too. And I think the combination between the two is why we don't allow others in or make them feel like they belong. You know, and I think a lot of it also too in our community and where we live at is loving one another means to love someone despite of themselves. And that means their stupidness. Let's put it that way. The dumb stuff that they do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, a lot of us, we don't stick around long enough to even see the stupidness in a way. Like, because
we find the first exit.
Yeah. And we make assumptions of people, which adds to that fear. And we play the what if game. You know, what if, you know, and... Unfortunately, it just leaves a lot of people lonely.
Yeah.
And it leaves a community still broken.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a huge point. I think you're right. You're absolutely right. We look for the first exit and we leave. And then when we see or we have assumptions about somebody, for instance, we saw today in his anonymous center, we saw the KKK here in the local area demonstrating. We're so easily convinced to ditch, beat them up. And I agree, what they're doing is totally horrible because they're making others not feel like human beings. Not treating
some of the ideology.
Yeah, the ideology, the thinking is not to treat another person who doesn't look like them like a human. But what if love can trump that? My thing is, we are so quick to ditch people and we can't sit in a room with somebody, you know, because we don't agree with them. And that, I don't think that's what we're supposed to be doing. What kind of community are we if we can't even sit down with somebody who doesn't agree with what we think? Mm-hmm. Who are we? And I'm not going to sit here and go, like, our thoughts are so supreme. No, because in that situation, you know, be real, if somebody's not treating someone like a human being, it's not right. Mm-hmm. But does that mean that we can't even be in the same room with them? Because how can we ever express the love of God if we're never around them? You know, we'd rather go to somebody who's doing it right, and we love on them. But how about when somebody's not doing it right, and we alienate them? Because we see so much in our community culture today, especially, no offense, who's the president, you see that they're like, people don't want to affiliate, or somebody who has that same type of thinking as him, we can't be around them. We can't have a meal. We can't even just be in the same room. And it's like, has it gotten to that point where that we can't even do that? Mm-hmm. Because, or we think that we're so much better than them just because our thinking is right and theirs is wrong. Are we then better than them? Mm-hmm. And my answer is no. Mm-hmm. If we're not willing to step into the same room with them, then we're wrong. And something else that kind of thought about to me this week was, when we see people, we have that divided line. And I know this, and this is always taught in sales. The first one, you know, when you give the presentation and you give it and you put the offer on the table, you know, the first one speaks loses, right? And we always see this. The person who then, you know, if there's a situation when you have, you know, difference so much and you could be fighting, whatever, the first person across the line we usually see is a loser, right? Mm-hmm. They're the one who loses, they're the one who gave up and everything else. But I would say this, I think they're the winner because they just won themselves a brother or sister.
There's a Bible verse too that talks about making a friend out of an enemy. I can't remember.
It was also Martin Luther King saying one of his favorite speeches that I have. Now he said, you told me how you can beat them, and you know, you can burn crosses, you can, you know, be as half dead in the ditches. And he says, you know, we're still going to love you. And he says, and hopefully in the end that we, with the love, that we win ourselves a brother. Mm. And I thought that was great because it was walking across that line. I think if we're going to be communities who is about God, you know, as a church, we need to make people belong. Not just feel belong, but really show it.
Yeah.
We need to ask no questions, in a sense. Help people, even when we see them doing wrong. There's a way to ask questions, but what I mean is that we want to question them before we help people.
Yeah. Why are you in this situation? Yeah. What'd you do?
Instead of just helping.
Yeah. And so, I like the example. Like, you see someone in the water and they're like asking for help. They're struggling to swim. There's a dock there. You stand on the dock. Like, how did you get in the water? Like, why did you get, you know? Why'd you go out for a swim if you can't swim? Like, yeah. just help the person get out of the water. And
this is what the church would say. Did you tithe?
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't tithe, so that's probably why he said, did you do this? Did you do that?
Yes, that sin that put you there. Can you imagine, like, how...
Person be dead be time before you even got to the third or fourth question. Like, instead of just getting in the water and helping them. And you're like, well, if I get in there and do that, then is it going to change them? Well, if you go into the water and somebody can't swim and you save them, you don't think that's going to have an impact?
Right.
They were going to be dead, and yet now they're still alive. So it does change. Yeah. It does help. And maybe that's all that's needed.
Yeah.
Like, I think...
And be mature enough that also... One of the things I wanted to add, be mature and realize that it's... Life is not just about us.
Yeah.
It's not just about you, not just about me.
It's about others.
Because when you see someone drowning, struggling to swim, and you're on the dock, you're going to have to get your clothes wet.
Yeah. And you're going to have to sacrifice yourself in the situation. That doesn't mean sacrifice your life. You die and they live. That's not what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. You're sacrificing your time, your clothes. Yeah. You're sacrificing you because you could then choose to do something else. But you're not choosing to do that. You're choosing to help them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, absolutely. I think that's what makes community the true definition of what community is supposed to be like. And my prayer has always been is that we become more like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, we make people feel belong and treat them, not just feel that way, but show it.
Right.
We step across, you know, we there's no questions asked to help people, you know, and we're able to cross the line to win people and be able to sit in the rooms with others. And I think this thing can go so much deeper, but I think some of the issues that we see mostly today is like these three, like for us to be able to sit in a room with somebody we don't agree with, but still sit there and be there beside them. You don't think that makes a difference? And I think some people are like, well, then you have the association. I want to kind of touch on this. If you're seen with them, then it means that people then will think that you agree with their, whatever their thinking is. And
like everything they say and do.
Well, Jesus was called a friend of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And he was willing to be seen around people and have people think that he agreed with all they were doing. And he didn't care. We think reputation is everything in life. And Jesus totally took the reputation and threw it away. Reputation doesn't define me.
Mm.
I'm defined by my dad who loves me.
Yeah.
And I think if we start to all start to begin to realize that we're so scared by our reputation, but it doesn't have to... Reputation doesn't define us. His love does.
Mm-hmm. And that creates a community that is moving forward, that is experiencing healing. Because, again, you have people from different backgrounds, different upbringings, different... just difference. That where people are not always thinking the same.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, so you're not going to have people that are perfect.
Let me ask you, doing do you everything. Have, how many knees do you have?
Knees?
Yeah.
Knees?
Yeah.
Two.
You don't have 20, do you?
Bees knees.
Yeah, you only have two.
Right.
But you're not full of knees. A body has
different parts.
And I'm talking about many, many different parts.
Yeah.
That makes up the body. Stuff that's seen and stuff that's not seen.
Yeah.
And all together, shine. They all shine.
Yeah.
And they all have to function together. And I think that's the beauty of community, is that we get to be, like you said, it's a culture melting pot. Yeah. A color melting pot.
That are still going to deal with issues.
Yes.
Problems, but you experience love.
Yeah. Love is at the center. Love is
at the center. You experience that more and more.
Yeah.
As you journey through life.
You have difference of opinions. Difference of way. Different ways of seeing situation. You know this in photography. If you had a point that you know, wherever you're shooting, if you take one step to the left, one step to the right, you have a different shot, right?
Light is...
Different point of view, right?
Right. Like, light is always changing. So you could you could just move over just a hair and you'll get a totally different picture that, that just looks different.
Well, you have that in community, and that's what makes it beautiful. You can have one set thing where you want to say Jesus, God, Holy Spirit is in the center, and we're all looking at him. We're all getting to see a different part of him. And guess what we get to see together? The fullness together. And if you want to get talk like that, but that could be about anything. In reality, you can put anything there. Yeah. You can have situations come up, but you have other people who see it, and together we get to see a full picture, which then helps us.
Yeah.
And that's the point.
And I believe that it's happening. More than we realize, this isn't like a kumbaya kind of message, like love and peace, not war.
No.
Like, I mean, it is. This is happening.
Yeah. We just want to see it more. We want to experience more because we know that this is what we need.
And there are people that today, like, you know, I wasn't expecting to experience what I experienced today. There are people out there that kind of forgot, you know, what community's like, and you know, and some people just. Really haven't heard it in this way before.
Yeah.
But there is hope. I do believe it's great that it is possible to have people come together more and more and experience his love together and experience healing.
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast at Losing My Religion. If you'd like to show your continued support, subscribe and share. And if you like, you can give monthly of no more than $10 at the link in the description below. It helps us to keep doing what we love to do, which is this. Thank you.